Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I have been having this back and forth the last couple of days. I'm happy to bring this to you. 913-586-7610. We were getting ready for the show, and I told Rob, I said the Chiefs are the only guarantee in the entire NFL. He's like, well, what do you mean? Think of the 14 teams that made the postseason last year. Some really good teams. Philadelphia, very good. Cincinnati, very good. Buffalo, you guys know the teams that made the postseason. There is only one team in the league that I would 100% guarantee will make the postseason this upcoming year, and it's Kansas City. I think they make the playoffs even if Patrick Mahomes has to miss some time like he did back in, what was that, 2019 with the knee injury? I think they still make the playoffs in that scenario. Like, I'm trying to think of a scenario in which I would pick against the Chiefs to make the playoffs. We're talking about the top seven teams in the AFC make the playoffs. That means you think the Chiefs could be the eighth or worst team in their conference. I don't think there's any chance of that. Like, I think they are the only lock in the entire NFL. Philadelphia, over the last 20 years, we have not seen a repeat winner in the NFC East. So history tells us, if you don't want to buy into it, that's fine. But history tells us that the Eagles will not win their division this year, that another one of those three teams will win the division. Cincinnati, remember, got off to a little bit of a slow start, started to figure it out late. Buffalo, that division, I think, has gotten a little tougher, a little meaner. The only team I can guarantee will make the postseason is Kansas City. So we were kind of going through it. Well, let's start with this first question, Rob, and then I'll get to our other debate that we were having. What's the other certainty you have in the NFL? So let's say the one thing that we all agree on, we might disagree on everything. We might disagree on who can win MVP. We might disagree on how good the Jets are going to be. The one thing we all agree is that the Chiefs will make the postseason this year. Is there anything else that you would even put close in that conversation? Because there's even some bad teams. Like, if you're telling me, oh, no chance Houston makes the postseason, I'm not willing to commit to that. I'm not willing to say there's no chance Houston makes the postseason. It's probably very unlikely. You could tell me Chicago. Yeah, I'm not willing to say that Chicago will not make the postseason under any circumstance. I don't really know if there's any other certainty in the league.
There's one. The Arizona Cardinals not making the playoffs. I cannot see a single path to that team with that coach and that talent in that division making the playoffs. I think there are two guarantees in the NFL this year. Chiefs make the playoffs, buy your tickets now, Chiefs fans, and the Cardinals don't sniff the playoffs. Cardinal fans, sell your tickets now because you're going to have a lot of bad football out in the Valley of the Sun.
Do you think, like, which is more likely in your opinion? Is it more likely that the Chiefs miss the playoffs or that the Cardinals make the playoffs? Because I would say it's more likely that the Cardinals make the playoffs. For this reason, this is why I would say it. I think it's more likely because they play in the NFC. In the NFC, you and I both know there are going to be two teams that completely come out of nowhere, like Seattle did last year. I don't know if there's a lot of room for that in the AFC. Like, you tell me in the AFC who that team is that you think could potentially come out of nowhere to make the postseason. Where the NFC, I think, is just much more open because there's so much more uncertainty at the quarterback position than everywhere else. Who's that team in the AFC you're looking at right now and you would be just stunned if they made the postseason? Who's that team? Because, like, maybe you think it's Denver, right, for example. Well, none of us think Denver's going to win their division, so you're thinking that Denver's going to grab one of those wild card spots and that's going to be a super competitive. I don't think there's a lot of dark horse candidates in the AFC the way there is in the NFC.
Yeah, the AFC seems, I don't know if chalky is the term, but even teams you're like, I don't know, that, like, let's use the Steelers. I don't think they're a team that me and you are very high on this year, but if it's January 17th and we're talking about the wild card round and the Steelers were in it, would you fall out of your chair stunned? Would that, are they even considered a dark horse? And they're a team that I would say is likely or not. Like, the AFC has too much talent for us to identify even a dark horse, because the teams we would, you could say, well, I see a path.
I'm not trying to trip you up. Do you know how many games Pittsburgh won last year?
They were like 7-10 or 8-9, right?
They won 9 games. They had a winning record last year.
Like, Mike Tomlin, man.
Think about as bad as we kind of perceive Pittsburgh to be. Pittsburgh had a winning record last year. Pittsburgh won more games than New England did. Pittsburgh had as many wins as Jacksonville. Think about how we feel about Jacksonville and how we feel about Pittsburgh. They had the same record last year. The same record. So that's what I'm saying. In the AFC, I don't really think there's a lot of teams that you could say completely come out of nowhere. There really aren't that many teams because of how deep and competitive it is. So that's why I would make the argument, like, if you're telling me with the Chiefs, like, their roster's too good, their coaching is too good, I would be floored if they missed the postseason. I look at the NFC, I mean, based on the history of the NFC and kind of where we are with the quarterbacks, I think one of these four teams make the postseason. You can mark me down on this. Out of the four teams that finished in last place in their division, one of these teams will make the postseason. Washington, Chicago, Atlanta, Arizona. Those four teams finished dead last in the NFC. You tell me the odds right now, I guarantee that one of those teams will make the postseason, because that's the way the NFL works. You can't tell me who the worst of first team is going to be in the AFC and feel good about it, unless you think it's the Jets, who won 7 games last year. They finished in last place. Do you think the Jets are going to win their division? But Cleveland, to me, I don't think they're winning their division. I don't think Houston's going to win their division. I also would bet against the Broncos for obvious reasons.
To answer your first question, circling back, which do I think is more likely, the Cardinals failing to make the playoffs or the Chiefs making the playoffs? I think of those two scenarios, what is more likely is the Cardinals fail to make the playoffs. Because I can paint a picture, albeit bleak, because of the Chiefs' schedule, and it would have to be an injury. But if that happens, I think the Chiefs, even if they just tread water in a stretch where Mahomes could potentially get hurt, I think their schedule is too tough, and everything you're saying about the AFC, it is too much of a gauntlet. I could see a scenario where, hey, Mahomes got injured 2019 style, and instead of treading water and going 2-2 in that stretch, they had a tougher schedule, they got bogged down a little bit, 1-3, they come back, they're chasing the division. You know, their schedule tightens up down the stretch. I could see a scenario. I think it's 98% they make the playoffs, but I could see a 2%. With no Kyler Murray, no talent, and a coach who's most noteworthy thing right now is on the day he got hired, he went pew, 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 pew for verticals. I can't see that combination winning more than 4 games. And you're going to need more than 4 games to make the playoffs. So of the two, what is more likely? I think the Cardinals not making the playoffs is more likely than the Chiefs making the playoffs.
So on the text line says, I can see the Broncos coming out of nowhere. I'm just going to be a seller on teams that I don't think can win their division. Like, I don't think the Broncos can win their division. Like, you guys laugh at me about the Chargers. Like, the Chargers, there's a chance they could win their division. I'm not picking them to win their division, but there is a chance. You guys sell me the scenario in which Denver improves. The Chiefs won 9 more games than the Broncos last year. That the Chiefs take a big enough step back and the Broncos take a big enough step forward for them to win their division. And if you don't win your division in the AFC, you are in a mix with about 7 other teams for 3 spots. 7 other teams for 3 spots. I just think it's going to be really tough if there's not a clear pathway to you winning your division in the AFC because of how competitive the wild card race I think is going to be this season. Coming up in a bit, we're going to head to Boston and be joined by somebody who covers the New England Patriots to learn a little bit more about DeAndre Hopkins and their pursuit. Here's the latest from Ian Rappaport of NFL Network.
Once Hopkins was free, I expected the Patriots to be involved.
Free agent.
I did not expect the Patriots to do a visit. Everyone always texted me the same thing this morning, was the Patriots don't do visits. They are now. I would say that is an indication of seriousness. There's some interest on both sides there. I mean, this one, I think, makes a lot of sense. It really. Now, the Titans have interest, too. And I know the fact that they got the first visit, that's good. Patriots one is really, really intriguing to me.
So that was the latest with Ian Rappaport of NFL Network about DeAndre Hopkins. I think the relationships that D-Hop has in the league are really starting to shine through. We know he likes Mike Vrabel. They get the first visit. I think we maybe undersold the Bill O'Brien thing. They then get the second visit. And I still think there's a mystique around Bill Belichick. He's the greatest head coach in the history of the National Football League. If he's interested in you coming there and there's an available spot and there's going to be targets that are there, I think that's going to be appealing to a wide receiver. That was appealing to Juju Smith-Schuster. I understand why that would also be appealing to DeAndre Hopkins. Coming up on the other side, we'll head to Boston to learn more about the Patriots' pursuit of DeAndre Hopkins. That's coming up. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
You're listening to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, the favorite show of Chiefs general manager Brett Veach.
Enjoy listening to your show on my drive home.
Brought to you by the Di Pasquale Moore Law Firm. Remember, Mike's got this on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You're listening to The Drive with CDOT on 610 Sports Radio.
Let's head to the phone lines right now. I'll be joined by Tyler Sullivan. He covers the New England Patriots, and he works with CBS Sports. Tyler, how you doing today, my man?
Good. Busy day in Foxborough, but you know what? It's fun to be busy in June.
No, absolutely, man. Let's start with this. What do you make of the news that D-Hop is coming to take a visit?
Well, it's fascinating. You know, one, not surprising because of how fondly Bill Belichick has talked about him in the past. Leading up to their Week 14 matchup last year, Patriots versus Cardinals on Monday Night Football, the game Kyler Murray tore his ACL. Bill Belichick was talking about DeAndre Hopkins in the same breath as good of any player he's ever had to coach against. That's what he was putting him in that pantheon of. So when a player like that becomes available, naturally you would say, okay, the Patriots would be interested. Now let's see what happens with this visit here. I'm not surprised that Bill Belichick's interested, but let's see if Penn actually goes to paper here.
That's a really good point about DeAndre Hopkins and Bill Belichick. I mean, you can tell, I noticed this during the NFL 100, and you probably did too. There are certain players that really get him excited. Like, I remember when he was talking to Ed Reed. Like, you could tell he loved Ed Reed. He has always spoken really highly about DeAndre Hopkins. Where do you think that comes from?
I think it's just a respect of the talent. And, you know, it reminds me a lot of way back in the day when Chad Johnson, Chad Ochocinco used to play for the Cincinnati Bengals. And there's been a ton of clips where those two guys were talking, leading into Patriots-Bengals games. Bill Belichick saying, you know, listen, we're just double covering you the entire time. Don't even worry about it. You can take the day off. And Chad Johnson kind of going back and forth with them there. Eventually, that resulted in Chad Johnson playing for the New England Patriots, albeit a forgetful tenure with the Patriots, but was ultimately with Bill Belichick at some point or another. And I just think he has an affinity for some of these players who he considers to be all-time talent. He is a historian of the game. And as you mentioned in that NFL 100, there's a reason why they had him on the panel, not just because he is one of the best head coaches of all time, if not the number one head coach of all time, but he knows the NFL historically, arguably better than anyone. And so when he sees players that are going to be in the footnotes, in the cliff notes, chapters in the NFL story, I think he kind of gravitates toward those guys.
Do you think Bill O'Brien being there means anything?
I think it does. And so there's a lot to unpack there with Bill O'Brien, because obviously he was the head coach when DeAndre Hopkins was the wide receiver with the Houston Texans and was extremely productive, but the relationship reportedly did kind of sour there. My question is, did DeAndre Hopkins sour on Bill O'Brien, the GM, or did he sour on Bill O'Brien, the head coach? If it's Bill O'Brien, the GM, well, he doesn't have to worry about that with the New England Patriots. Bill Belichick's running the show. Now, if he soured on Bill O'Brien, the head coach, then we have some issues here. The fact that he's willing to take a visit with the Patriots would lead me to assume that it was Bill O'Brien, the GM. There's no love lost there. There is a repairable relationship there. And I mean, you look at the relationship in terms of on-field production when Bill O'Brien was coaching DeAndre Hopkins. In the six seasons that I have this in front of me, the six seasons that O'Brien and Hopkins were together in Houston, Hopkins averaged 96 catches, 1,300 yards, and about 8 touchdowns. Pretty good.
Right now we're talking to Tyler Sullivan, who covers the Patriots, lives in Boston, and works for CBS Sports. How much gas do you think DeAndre Hopkins has left in the tank? I think that's been a little bit of a point of contention. You probably read that story from Albert Breer a couple of days ago where there were some executives that didn't think he had a whole lot left. There were some that did. I think he's polarizing in that aspect. How much do you think he has left?
Absolutely. And you talk about it, you know, I say that, you know, 1,300 yards is averaging. He's certainly not that guy that you're pursuing right now as a free agent. I think that he has enough left in the tank to be a number one-ish wide receiver. Like, he would be the number one wide receiver with New England. He would be the number one wide receiver with Tennessee, who's reportedly also visiting as a free agent. But if he says, you know, if he goes to, you know, this is just speaking in hypotheticals, he goes to Minnesota, he goes to Cincinnati, he's not the number one guy, Justin Jefferson or Ja'Marr Chase. He used to be one of those guys. He's not that anymore. I am a little weary, though, in terms of, and like you referenced with the Albert Breer piece in the NFQB, he's going to be 32 years old by the start of next season. He did have 717 receiving yards last year in just 9 games, which is pretty good. But you have an aging wide receiver coming off of a PED suspension. You're always a little bit leery about what that could look like a few years down the road here. So I think that he is good to be a 1B, a 1C. And with New England, that's perfectly fine. But if you're expecting him to be the DeAndre Hopkins, the all-pro caliber guy, I think you'll be a little bit disappointed with whatever team he ends up on.
From a cap space perspective, we don't got to do a deep dive on the Patriots cap situation. They brought in Juju Smith-Schuster this offseason. Who knows what they're going to do with their quarterback and Mac Jones? Are they waiting for a big-time contract? Are they not waiting for a big-time contract? Do they have the money to go get D-Hop, or are they going to have to move some stuff around?
Well, this is going to be the question now, and this is where I have a little bit of pause with this actually happening in New England and not, say, with Kansas City, with the Chiefs. My big question will be, if DeAndre Hopkins' market isn't that top tier, if he's not finding the Odell Beckham money that's out there in free agency, that was out there for OBJ with the Baltimore Ravens, the $15 million could get up to 18 with incentives. If that's not out there for DeAndre Hopkins, and he's taking a less than market value deal, why would it be with the New England Patriots? Because the Patriots historically do not overpay. They swoop in when it's a bargain. That's just what Bill Belichick does. And to his credit, it's worked out more often than it hasn't. And so if you get to that point, however, if you're DeAndre Hopkins and you are settling for a below market deal, why wouldn't that be with Kansas City? Why wouldn't that be with a team like the Buffalo Bills, who were reportedly in on him at certain points during his tenure with the Arizona Cardinals as possibly a trade piece? And now that he's maybe hitting that open market, he's looking for a big enough dollar. If that doesn't come, and I don't know if the Patriots are that team to all of a sudden shove a bunch of money into the middle of the table to try to get this guy, I wonder if he would just opt for a contender with star quarterbacks like Mahomes or Josh Allen.
Right now, we're talking to Tyler Sullivan here for a couple more minutes. He covers the New England Patriots. You mentioned historically what the Patriots do, and I certainly can't disagree with you, but they've also always operated from a place of power. Like, that's kind of what Kansas City is right now. Like, Kansas City doesn't overpay for guys. Hey, our number is our number. We might love you. We might appreciate you, but we're willing to let you go. Is New England still at that point? Because I look at where they sit in their division. I also look at the skill position players that they have. I think the Patriots, like, they are just going to be outgunned, I think, in more games than not this year. That's going to make it really hard for them to make the postseason. Could you see them extending a little bit to try to beef up that offense?
And that's the telltale sign, right? That will tell us everything we need to know about how Bill Belichick feels about his team and whether or not he makes what would be described around here would be a desperate move to thrust themselves back into contention, because that's really what it would be. He would be going up against any type of principle that he's had prior, like we've been talking about, to go and throw all the money that it would probably take to get DeAndre Hopkins to outbid these other teams. And so if that happens, I think that clearly tells you that he knows that this is going to be a tough road ahead. Robert Kraft even said it the other day. This is the toughest division in the NFL, arguably. It's the toughest the AFC East has been in quite some time, obviously now with the Jets getting Aaron Rodgers, the Miami Dolphins continuing their ascent with Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle acquiring Jalen Ramsey this offseason, the Bills continuing to be one of the upper echelon teams in the AFC as a whole, and you have the Patriots in a very unfamiliar spot. On paper, the worst team in the AFC. We can't say that since basically, you know, prior to 2000. I mean, it's been that long when we can definitively say that. And so if Bill Belichick sees it the same way and says, hey, listen, we not only have the AFC East to deal with all of these teams on the come up, we also have Kansas City coming up on the schedule. We also have Philadelphia on the schedule this season. Dallas, you go down the list, there's a lot of high-flying offenses coming into Foxborough, or they're having to go to those stadiums and play them. They may need DeAndre Hopkins. The question is, does DeAndre Hopkins need them?
Last couple questions here for Tyler Sullivan, who covers the Patriots. What's your prediction on what the contract D-Hop eventually signs with looks like? And what team do you think lands him?
I think ultimately, and I've kind of alluded to it, I think it's a below-market deal just because of where we are in the offseason. I mean, we're talking about teams that have the most cap space right now. Chicago Bears, Carolina Panthers, the Dallas Cowboys have space, Colts, Lions, he was just with the Cardinals. I just don't know if there's a fit with all these teams that have a ton of money. And so that would lead me to assume that it's going to be a below-market deal. I don't think it's going to be an Odell Beckham-type deal. I think it's going to be a little bit below that. And so for me, I think it's an inevitability that he ends up taking a below-market deal with a contender. I don't know if the Tennessees or the New Englands of the world are going to be that enticing when the price point gets down to where Kansas City or Buffalo re-enters that equation. And so for me, I think it's down to still those two teams. I know that they've reportedly been in and out and they're out now, but again, let's see what this number comes down to. And I think that Kansas City and or Buffalo are going to be firmly back in that mix.
That is Tyler Sullivan joining us on the show today. He does great work with CBS Sports. Tyler, I appreciate you.
No problem. Thank you.
Absolutely. That's Tyler Sullivan joining us on the show today. Rob, would you agree that what Tyler just said, a low market deal, a below market deal, is the only chance he's on the Chiefs? Like, I could see the Patriots overspending. I could see Tennessee overspending. Those are teams that are probably outside looking in for the postseason and don't have a lot of offensive pizzazz. So I could see the Patriots maybe spending a little bit more to think, hey, we got this young quarterback in Mac Jones. We can't have him go out there with Kendrick Bourne and Juju Smith-Schuster and Ramondre Stevenson at running back. We need some more pop. We got to go get D-Hop. I think the same thing for Tennessee. We got to go make this move. I don't think the Chiefs or Buffalo ever reach a point of feeling like this is a move that we have to make. So I think both of those teams, like I'd put Kansas City and Buffalo in the same criteria. I think the only way he joins either one of those teams is if whenever we see the news get announced, we think, oh, that was a fair deal. I don't think that we get the wow contract if he signs with the Chiefs, Buffalo, or any team that we think can realistically win the Super Bowl.
That adds up when you consider his first two visits are teams that I don't say they can wow contract him, but they can give him, you know, more than the Chiefs and Bills can. The point Tyler made that I think was fascinating and I 100% agree with is, if DeAndre Hopkins' market continues to plummet and it gets to more what you're in line with seeing with the old Patriots, you know, they bring in an Antonio Brown for basically nothing. They'd add Wes Welker for pennies on the dollar. They would add these type of low risk, you know, high reward type of players. If the budget starts getting like that for Hopkins, that's when I think the Chiefs and Bills re-enter the fray. But if you're the Browns, you're the Patriots, you're the Titans, you got to pay market value. And if those teams are willing to do it, I think they're opening themselves up to the Chiefs swooping back in. But as it currently sits, I think the teams that are willing to pay the market value are the ones that are going to actually end up with DeAndre Hopkins.
Do you think fans still want D-Hop? 913-586-7610. Do you think fans still want him? Because it was hot for a while. It feels like it's cooled off a little bit, but I also would say I think it's cooled off a little bit because the national interest in Kansas City has cooled off a little bit. When he first got released, every single person said Kansas City. Schefter, Rappaport, Breer, every major reporter said Kansas City. I think the next rumor, the next thing that gets attached to the Chiefs, I do think it could possibly restart it and respark it. But I think right now, I think fans are like, okay, if we get them, great. If not, I don't think it's going to be that big of a deal. We can read your text on that coming up, 913-586-7610. And if you missed it, Frank Clark spoke to the media about signing with the Denver Broncos. We'll play some of the best of that for you and get you the hits and the top stories of the day in Kansas City. We got a lot of stuff to get into before we sign off for the week. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
This is The Drive with Carrington Harrison, brought to you by the DePasquale Moore Law Firm. Remember, Mike's got this. If you missed any of the show, catch up on the Odyssey app or at 610sports.com.
This is The Drive with Carrington Harrison on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Welcome back into The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. I asked the question, are you guys still interested in DeAndre Hopkins? Like, I asked that because it feels like it's cooled off a little bit. I get it. The newness of it is worn off. He was a free agent a couple weeks ago. Everybody was talking about it, and now it's kind of died down a little bit. I think this text sums it up perfectly. I view him as a luxury and not a necessity, but I still would like him. He is a different wide receiver type that this offense could benefit from. Like, I would say there's a couple different ways of looking at it, Rob, and tell me if you disagree. I don't think the Chiefs need DeAndre Hopkins by any means. Like, they don't need him. They just won the Super Bowl, right? They don't need him. But I do think a lot of this comes down to, aside from Mahomes, like, none of this might not matter anyway. They have the best player in the league and maybe the best player that we ever have seen play in the National Football League. So none of this might not mean anything. I think a lot of this comes down to your confidence in the rest of their wide receivers and how badly you think they could potentially need DeAndre Hopkins. They don't have a proven producer at wide receiver. Rob, do they have a wide receiver on their team that has had 800 yards in a season? Has MVS ever had that kind of year? We know that Richie James hasn't had that. Sky Moore hasn't had that. Kadarius Toney has had that. For all the hype about Justin Ross, that's never been who he is. So I think a lot of this comes down to, like, if you view him as a need or a necessity, where you are with that. I think the Chiefs are going to be just fine without him. I think Isaiah Pacheco is going to have a big year. There's no reason to think that Travis Kelce won't be Travis Kelce. And I think they can make do. Like, I look at the Chiefs wide receiver group a lot like how those early Eagles teams were. I'm not talking about the Macklin, DeSean Jackson years, but you remember they had those years with, like, Freddie Mitchell and Jason Avant, all these just other guys, Todd Pinkston, and they just seem to always have enough offensively. I think that's going to be where we are. I don't think their wide receiver crew is great by any means. I don't think it's going to be great by any means. I don't think you get a guy that has 1,200 yards receiving. But I think what you'll do is you'll do just enough to figure it out. That happened in the Super Bowl. You did just enough to figure it out. Kadarius Toney was not great in the Super Bowl. Sky Moore wasn't great in the Super Bowl, but hey, a guy makes a play in special teams. A guy makes a play here. Juju Smith-Schuster steps up. It was a little bit of wide receiver by committee, and you figured out a way to win. I think they're going to do that more times than not this upcoming season.
I think Chiefs fans still want DeAndre Hopkins, but I think their want for him has dipped, but they still want him. Like, if it was on a scale of 1 to 10, and 10 was the Chiefs fans are, oh, my God, got to have him, give him to me, I need it, I need it, I need it, and 1 was the whatever, dude, who cares? I think when he first got released, Chiefs fans were at like a 9.5. They were at a fever pitch. Can you imagine that big-bodied receiver, those hands, the all-pro of Patrick Mahomes? Patrick Mahomes was dominant with Tyreek. This would be amazing. We've never seen this. I think they were at a 9.5. I think as time has worn on and you realize the age and the PED suspension and the injuries and then the asking price, fans have toned down their want. I would say they're still on the want side of the spectrum. I would have them at a 6.5 or a 7 now. But I think with more knowledge, more information on what DeAndre Hopkins is, which is more than just the name, their want has cooled. But I think if we hit the breaking news sounder, Chiefs signed DeAndre Hopkins, Chiefs fans in the text line, Chiefs fans on social media, we could open the phones line and be in a frenzy with happiness. They would be cranked back up to that 9.5. So, yes, I think Chiefs fans still want DeAndre Hopkins. They're just more open to the issues with DeAndre Hopkins, meaning that if they don't get him, they're like, ho-hum. But they're still in the want category very much.
Text line 913-586-7610. Without Hopkins, they could win the Super Bowl. With Hopkins, they will win the Super Bowl. Yeah, I don't view Hopkins as that much of moving the needle. Like, to me, if you think they get Hopkins, that makes them the overwhelming favorite. I just strongly disagree. I think they are the favorite. Don't get me wrong. There's a difference between being the favorite and the overwhelming favorite. I don't think this really creates a I don't think this widens the gap that much more from where I think they are on the other teams in the AFC. If they think that, if the Chiefs feel that way, hey, Hopkins assures us a Super Bowl appearance, then what are we talking about? Go sign him. Whatever I'm saying doesn't mean anything. If he means that much of a difference, I don't think he's that much of a difference maker anymore.
I would agree. I also would say, not to disagree with the texter, the Chiefs are already in Vegas, at least, whatever app you use to do your betting, FanDuel is the one for this show, they are already the favorite to win the Super Bowl. It is not going to go from, oh, man, they're the favorite to, oh, man, they're the favorite. Maybe overwhelming favorites, but I don't think DeAndre Hopkins moves the needle like that at all at this juncture in time. If they had signed DeAndre Hopkins leading into that 2019 season where he actually played against the Chiefs in the playoffs, okay, that had moved the needle that much. But this is not that version of DeAndre Hopkins anymore. That version is in the rearview mirror. I think they're the favorite no matter what happens with Hopkins.
Text line, CDOT, you're insane. With Hopkins, our offense is unstoppable. I just don't feel the way about DeAndre Hopkins as some of you guys do. That's what it comes down to. Like, that's why I think it's so interesting. It depends on how you feel about DeAndre Hopkins. Like, I see a 31-year-old wide receiver that really goes against what they are and what they've tried to build over the last 4 years or so. Like, the Chiefs have done a really good job of sort of avoiding the shiny toy. I would say that that's what DeAndre Hopkins is. He's in free agent, or he's a free agent now. Ooh, we got to go get him. We got to go get him. Yeah, I don't view him that way. You'll crush me for this. If I had a choice between going to get him and Dalvin Cook, I would go get Dalvin Cook.
Well, I would take neither.
Like, I'm with you. I'm not advocating for them to go get Dalvin Cook either. But if you're telling me right now that both are available on a deal that we think is friendly for the Chiefs, I'd rather them go get Dalvin Cook. I think Dalvin Cook moves the needle more for this team and helps out more than what DeAndre Hopkins would help out.
Yeah.
If they had Dalvin Cook and Isaiah Pacheco, I think they have a top five running game in the National Football League. And when you factor in the ability to throw the ball out of the backfield and do all of those kind of things and the kind of player that Dalvin Cook is, if those are my two options, I don't think they get either one of them. But if you're giving me the choice, I would rather sign Dalvin Cook than sign him.
Yeah, I do think that's crazy. I think that's nuts, but you know, that's
what is
my
it
hate
about Dalvin Cook that maybe I'm missing here? Because it seems like you're maybe down on Dalvin.
I am on
Cook.
I mean, first off, running backs don't get massive contracts nowadays in the NFL. Also, and maybe just ringing true in my head over and over and over again, man, Therese's quote about there's only so many hits in your body just rings true. I mean, he has been really productive, but he's also about to be 28 years old. How many 28-year-old running backs continue that level of productivity? They usually fall off. And he was a guy that had high volume in college, too.
I mean,
that's a lot
that
of hits in the body.
About a 31-year-old wide receiver. There's only one wide receiver last year in the NFL that had over 1,000 yards and over 30 years old. It was Tyler Lockett. I just look at Dalvin Cook. I mean, the last 4 years, yards per scrimmage, almost 1,700 yards, 1,654. He had almost 2,000 yards from scrimmage in 2020 and 1,400 yards back-to-back seasons. Like, I guess I'm wondering what I'm missing about Dalvin Cook that maybe everybody else does. Again, I'm not saying, hey, Chiefs got to go get Dalvin Cook. I think their running game is perfectly fine with Isaiah Pacheco and Jerick McKinnon. I think they'll make it work. But, like, I don't know why Buffalo's not all over Dalvin Cook. Like, it doesn't make any sense to me. If you're telling me the contract that you think Cook is going to sign and you think Cook is going to sign for $5 million, he needs to be in Buffalo tomorrow. His brother is on the team. Go play in Buffalo. They desperately could use you. There's no team in the NFL that he would move the needle for more than the Buffalo Bills. And if you're telling me you don't think he's going to go for a lot of money, I don't know why Buffalo is not the only option for him.
The fact that Buffalo isn't and the teams interested are, I know the Dolphins are a playoff team, but they weren't you know, a wow playoff team last year. And the Broncos, that's the only two teams right now that are like heavy interest. Makes me think, the NFL people know something you don't. And I will continue to say, running backs age the opposite of fine wine. They age so horribly. He has been productive, but you're not giving him a contract on what he's done. You're betting on what he will do. And the Vikings, who should know him better than anyone else on the planet, just bet on Alexander Mattison. They gave him an extension this offseason. They gave Alexander Mattison an extension, and they walked on Dalvin Cook. If that doesn't tell you something, what will? I'm not saying he's Larry Johnson. Larry Johnson was an extreme example, but it seems more Larry Johnson-ish in the fact that a few more hits and you're going to be like, oh, he only rushed for 600 this year? What happened? Far more than he's going to be a guy who explodes or McCaffrey-like on a new scene.
But to me, it feels unfair to hold that against Dalvin Cook and not hold it against DeAndre Hopkins.
Let the record show, I don't want Hopkins either.
DeAndre Hopkins 2 years ago tore his ACL. He missed the first six games of last season and then couldn't play the final two with a knee injury. So I hear what you're saying about Dalvin Cook. Again, I'm not advocating for the Chiefs to go get him. But it seems unfair to say, well, eventually something's going to happen with Dalvin Cook, and then we're not playing that same game with DeAndre Hopkins, who is an older, more hurt player. Say what you want about Dalvin Cook. DeAndre Hopkins has missed more games the last two seasons than Dalvin Cook has. Dalvin Cook has been a more productive player than DeAndre Hopkins has been the last couple of years. We keep saying how the Chiefs should run the ball more and take more pressure off Patrick Mahomes. One of the eight best running backs in the league is available at a reasonable price, and no one's even entertaining the possibility of trying to go get him. Nah, we don't want him. All right, cool. But if you're telling me who would have the greater effect on their offense, if they added Dalvin Cook, they would have one of the three best run games in the National Football League.
I mean, but would they? Would Andy Reid still run the ball to that level, or would they have just three great name running backs?
I mean, instead of throwing those swing passes to Jerick McKinnon, they could be throwing them to Dalvin Cook. They got Jerick McKinnon 9 touchdowns last season. Maybe you get Dalvin Cook 200 carries, you get Isaiah Pacheco another 150 carries, about what you did last year, and you use them both out of the backfield in the run game and the explosiveness. It's not a crazy idea. Especially if you think he's not going to sign for a lot. You don't think he's going to sign for a lot.
Yeah, I bet his range comes between $3 and $5.5 million.
If he's worth $3.5 million, I go get him. My God, you can be mad about running back. I go get him. $3.5 million?
I think that's the window. Again, I don't think the Chiefs should do it. I don't think you think the Chiefs should do it. I'm just saying, I think his window is 3.5 to 5.5.
Yeah. For a guy that had 1,500 yards from scrimmage last year, if you're telling me that that's a guy that's $5 million on the open market, then I would be very, very interested. I think he's going to get much more than that.
I mean, how is he different? I mean, he's more productive, but Kareem Hunt is the same age, and I know there's off-the-field issues, but Kareem Hunt is the same.
But that matters, though. You know that all matters with the stuff.
True, but he has one less year of wear and tear on his body because of the suspension. Like, he has less hits in his body. He has been a productive running back in the NFL. He is the same age as Dalvin Cook. He is currently sitting on the unemployment line.
I mean, Kareem Hunt last year averaged less than 4 yards a carry.
He was tough. He was not great last
year. That's tough. You know what I mean? That's tough. You know how hard it is to get the amount of carries that Kareem Hunt did last year and averaged 3.8 yards per carry? That's really, really hard to do. Really hard to do. So, yeah, I don't think that they're the same. I think that one is substantially better than the other one at this point in their career. And you also don't have the off-the-field stuff that has happened with them, too.
That's fair. I'm just saying there's already a 27-year-old in free agency who has a history of being good in the NFL, and literally no one is biting. Again, Ezekiel Elliott available right now. Same age. Literally no one is biting. He had 800 yards last year, but he's only a year removed from a 1,000-yard season. Like, he had another what? It looks like here he had...
Ezekiel Elliott also averaged less than 4 yards a carry. Like, I'm saying, if you're big on running backs only have so much hits in their body, you want to know when it's normally time to get out? When that yards per carry dips under 4.
That's fair.
He averaged 3.8 last year on 230 carries. He was not productive in any way last season, Ezekiel Elliott. Like, I think Ezekiel Elliott is cooked. I think that there is a chance Kareem Hunt is cooked. I don't think Dalvin Cook is. No pun intended. I don't think that he is. He's been pretty consistent. 5 yards a carry, 4.7 yards per carry, 4 yards 4.5 yards per carry, catches the ball a little bit of the backfield. I wouldn't sign him to a four-year deal, but if you're telling me a two-year contract for Dalvin Cook that gets me up to 29 years old with him, I'd be very interested in if I'm a team in the National Football
League. You say get out while the guy is, you know, averaging under 4 yards a carry. It's worth noting, last year was Dalvin Cook's worst yards per carry in his career. So, you're betting on a descend if you're a team. You're betting on, hey, it's not going to bounce back to the 4.8 it was at one point in his career or the insane number earlier. You're betting on there's a trend line here. You're betting on it maybe not going underneath 4, but you're betting on it being closer to 4.1. And what is that player worth in the open market? I imagine it's still better than Elliott, still better than Kareem Hunt, but it's not Miles Sanders' number. I would say that's why I think I have him at 3.5 to 5.5, especially on June 9th. Me and you both know the $10 million deals don't usually get signed on June 17th. That's not how this thing usually works in the NFL.
Someone on the text line says, Kareem Hunt is cooked. He's a starter, man. Come on. He averaged 3.8 yards per carry last year. You got to tell me why he averaged 3.8 yards per carry last year.
As the backup.
Yeah, you got to explain that to me. If you're telling me that you still think he is a starting running back in this league, you tell me how he averaged 3.8 yards per carry last season. Because that, to me, sounds like a running back who is cooked. 3.8. Like, we can go through the running backs last year that averaged 3.8 yards per carry, and you guys will be like, who? That is not what productive running backs do. This is what I hate about Chiefs fans in these conversations is you guys can't tell me how Jamaal Charles can be in the Hall of Fame solely off yards per carry. Like, oh, that's not a big deal. Hold on. Like, you're arguing he should be in the Hall of Fame because his yards per carry is, what, 5.2. Kareem Hunt's last year was 3.8. That is substantially below league average. No, there is a chance that he is cooked in the National Football League. There is a legitimate chance of that being the case.
I think all the guys you're mentioning, I would say Dalvin Cook falls in this category, are spot starter, part of a rotation running back guys now in the league. I don't think Dalvin Cook is, no doubt, without a shadow of a doubt, RB1 on any productive team in the league. I think if we went through teams in the league right now and you said, okay, who's their number one running back, even if they signed Dalvin Cook, you'd say most teams are going to stick with the guy they got. So what's the market for running back number two, a rotational running back type? I think it's more in Jerick McKinnon's market. He's the extreme, but he's not a starting every down running back in the NFL anymore. Those days are behind him.
Really quick, would you rather have Joe Mixon or Kareem Hunt? Because they were basically the same last year.
I mean, I was about to say, can I tend to say they're the same?
They're about the same.
I was like, yes, they're the same to me. If you pair both of them up, I think you're fine, but I don't think you're a world beater if you have either.
I appreciate you, man. Thank you so much. Rob is actually off all of next week. I will be here, though. I don't know who else is going to be here. It's going to be like
a little bit of Kramer, a little bit of Lucas, a little bit of Unicero.
It's going to be a bunch of everybody. That's all I know for next week. I appreciate you guys. Come back. But first, I'll let Daniel Craig take you home.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.